Hello? Hello, this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
shit, man." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, shit, man."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up."
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So this morning I was drinking some coffee and, you know, going through my notes as I normally do every morning. You get up, you shower, you brush your teeth, you go downstairs. Sitting there's your computer and you're dreading, what am I going to find today? You know, what do I need to find today to talk about? What's on my mind? And what happened, and this is really odd, I experienced some deja vu. And it was a weird cosmic type of deja vu, I have to tell you. It was something that I wanted to share with you because it doesn't happen to me all the time. I know that sometimes I'm guilty of conceptualizing what I call the signs of the times, meaning that I see events that happen, and then from a bolt, like a bolt from the blue, I'm like, what is this? I see some story. And I don't know if it's real or it's fake or whatever, but it just triggered some deja vu in my head. So I see these events. I see a video today that had me flash back to 1997 and another time, and I'll get to that later. But it was like I say, you know, you see this bolt from the blue, and you're wondering if this is a real fulfillment of prophecy, or are the elite playing games? Are they trolling me? Are they trolling you? Because I know that Donald Trump now has this penchant for trolling the Democrats. And it's kind of funny to watch because they take him so seriously. And sometimes I think they need to grow up and realize that he's president. But again, we get sold on this idea from President Trump about this golden age. Okay. And, you know, golden age is a trigger word for me. Terminology is a trigger word for those who are well-versed in ancient magic and the predictions of heaven on earth. It can be called Zion. I mean, a lot of people heard the term Zion, Zionist. And many of us know that Zion is the hill of Jerusalem in which the city of David was built. It's also a word used to describe what would be called heaven on earth. So basically, it's a placement word for Jerusalem, Zion. And in the dispensation of time, the idea of dispensation of time, where the people like me who are dispensationalists in a lot of ways. They're supposed to gather and live in a golden age where all needs and pain are tranquilized. You know, you get everything you want, you're happy. I shall wipe away your tears, there shall be no death, for they are done away, if thou art with me. It's a well-known scripture. And the light, of course, will always shine in Zion. Of course, Zion, Sion, sun. It's another word for the rising sun, Zion is. Zion is another word for sun, a rising sun. It's going to be, it's the rising sun that is the vehicle of God. That's what Zion is too. It's not a Merkaba, but the sun is the vehicle of God. The sun is the vehicle that brings God. It's the promise of God returning to tend to his flock. It's the messianic Mashiach type of predictions that you hear from Israel, that you hear from the British crown. I mean, make a long story short, I was watching a video today, and this is where I got the deja vu. So I'm watching this video. Some guy sends me this video of footage. And at first you're looking at it, and it's bridge. I don't even know if it's Britain or it's some bridge. It looks like Stone Bridge. And so it looked like a city of bridges, like Chicago or New York or Portland. We have bridges like, if you look down the city area, there's a whole array of bridges. We've got 13 or 14 bridges that cross the Willamette River. And then, of course, Chicago has their little bridges, too, that you see in the city. But there's these bridges. I'm seeing buses go by, and I'm seeing, you know, cars and bicyclists go by. And all of a sudden, you see the camera going up to this light that's in the middle of the sky. And there's this other light that just appears out of nowhere. And it's moving like it's intelligent. It's like moving across the screen. And you're hearing this guy in the background who has a Arabic Middle Eastern accent. He's going, oh, hoy, and he's getting all excited, and he's, he's excited because he's saying that what he's recording is the arrival of King Anu. Okay. He says, oh, it's the spaceship of King Anu. It's King Anu. And I'm like, this guy really believes that this is a spaceship and it's carrying King Anu. I had heard the name King Anu because, of course, we know about the Anunnaki. We know about Nibiru. We know about, because of Zechariah Sitchin and others. And we know that there have been various religions and belief systems that center around the idea of the return of a god, like Anu, the Anunnaki, those in the winged disc, those who believe in the Thunderbolts winged disc theories, Nibiru, the 12th planet theories, all these things are around King Anu. And so, look, I'm not trying to convince anybody that what I was watching and what this guy was seeing, there's no way to prove that what I was seeing was the arrival of a Mesopotamian king or Sumerian king. But as I watched, I remembered that, again, Zechariah Sitchin once said that after the year 2000, the Anunnaki were alleged to return to this planet. And it would be reported as a huge UFO in the sky. Now, he wrote this book. It's called The End Days, Armageddon, the Prophecy of the Return. And Zechariah Sitchin predicted that the Anunnaki would return to Earth, and it would begin with a sighting of a chariot of fire carrying the Mesopotamian god or the Sumerian god, King Anu. Anu was a Sumerian sky god and the father of all gods, demons, and evil spirits. He was also the god of kings and the god of the yearly calendar. Anu was often depicted with horns and a headdress to symbolize strength. King Anu was the lord over the entire planet of Nibiru, and that's according to ancient mythology. If you want to read The 12th Planet by Sitchin, it talks about conventional interpretations of ancient texts and archaeological findings have overlooked a crucial aspect of human history, and that is the influence of the Anunnaki, the influence of extraterrestrial beings. If you read more about Sitchin's thesis, it talks about the idea that Earth was visited by these advanced beings, these alien beings, the Anunnaki, who came from the 12th planet in our solar system known as Nibiru. So, just one guy thinking that he's seeing the arrival of King Anu triggered something in me, a deja vu experience I'm going to share with you. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. We'll be back at War Ground Zero, double away. 0. I'm Clyde Lewis. The numbers you called tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So today I saw this video. And it was a video of this. It looked like a light in the sky that was moving slowly, and behind it was leaving behind a trail of diamonds. It was a very brilliant UFO. I haven't seen anything like it in a long time. So this UFO, it was huge in the sky. I mean, compared to the moon, it was huge. The moon was above it, but this big light in the sky going across. See, this trail of diamonds looked like a small comet or looked like some. I mean, it was just amazing to watch. And this excited guy with a Middle Eastern accent saying, it's the spaceship of King Anu. He was convinced that what he was seeing was the arrival of King Anu. And this was from a traffic cam. It was observing a bridge over some, I mean, I saw the bridge of the city, and I thought, well, it looked like either London or some other place. Maybe it was in the Middle East. I just don't know of any cities in the Middle East that have bridges and have a water, like a river or something running through it. And so, like I said, there was no, I'm not saying it was King Anu, but just the idea of the guy saying that what he saw, or what he was interpreting this as, the return of the Anunnaki. Anu was the Sumerian sky god of the Anunnaki. That's Anu, Anunnaki, you know that. And then Zechariah Sitchin wrote several books about this. He wrote The 12th Planet. He wrote several other things about the Sumerian god. And, of course, many of us have our, that we've been told a lot about the Anunnaki through Sitchin's works. And what it is that Sitchin revolves around the idea, his whole theory revolves around the idea that this planet was visited by advanced alien beings called the Anunnaki. They came from a mysterious 12th planet in our solar system known as Nibiru. Now, he's counting the sun and the moon as planets here, so that's why you get the 12. And so what he does is he's talking about, and Zechariah Sitchin, of course, we know was, you know, he was an interesting guy, having a lot of introducing a lot of interesting concepts about the Anunnaki and about alien beings. He said the Anunnaki translates into those who from heaven to earth came. Now, he argues that the Anunnaki are not mythical deities, but real beings who traveled to earth in search of minerals. Okay? They're looking for minerals, looking for rare earths, looking for all, I mean, specifically, they were looking for gold. I mean, let this sink in for a minute. So the Anunnaki and Anu came to this planet looking for minerals, looking for rare earth, looking for gold, and they needed it in order to repair their planet's deteriorating atmosphere. Now, it seems these same types of elements are in the news again, where we're talking to Ukraine about their rare earth. We're talking about their minerals. We want their minerals and their rare earth deposits. We are, you know, gold is now reaching heights of, who knows? I mean, it's going to be $3,000 soon. And what is the purpose for all this mystifying movements towards rare earth minerals and gold? Well, if you look back at the Anunnaki, it's found in several myths or a lot of stories of the ancient cultures, such as the Enumeration, the Epic of Gilgamesh, that the name Anunnaki, of course, Yusuf says they're equal to the Elohim, and that there isn't a Hebrew word, though, that's found in the Bible that would talk about the Anunnaki. But ancient historians have calculated that if we were to go on just Sitchin's research alone, that the return of the Anunnaki is to be sometime in the mid-21st century, between now and 2046. I know that several other people have said 2012, because, of course, they were thinking of the Y2K thing. But the calculations, they were saying that, what, the Anunnaki were here 500,000 years ago or 450,000 years ago, and that a faction of them landed on Earth to mine gold in order to repair the atmosphere of their home planet and ended up breaking their prime directive. And that was the directive they couldn't interfere with the culture of the planet. So what they did is they genetically engineered the existing humanoid Earth species and created the modern Homo sapiens, after which they were called off planet by their leadership, by their king, Anu. Now, there are a lot of people, and I know a few people. I mean, James Gilliland at the East City Ranch, where we go sometimes, he talks about the Anunnaki at length, saying that they're a product, that UFOs are a product of the advanced Anunnaki, And they've been watching over us, and that King Anu will arrive to announce the arrival of planet Nibiru in our solar system. So the UFO that the videographer claimed was King Anu's spaceship was a different looking type of UFO to me. And that's why it triggered a thought or two and some deja vu, leaving behind a trail of diamonds, far too brilliant to be a plane, far too brilliant to be a comet or a meteor, perhaps a bit more like a comet or a meteor. I don't know. In fact, if I were to share my feelings about what I saw, it reminded me of Comet Hale-Bopp. Okay? And if you remember back in the days of Art Bell, 1997, about the same time we started up. We started up in 95, but about 95, 96, 97. If you remember the Art Bell show, and you remember the reports of this comet, this Hale-Bopp comet, and how it had a companion fragment that was in its tail. It followed its tail, and people were talking about this companion. And in fact, it was so important to me that I had to get a telescope, went out in the middle of nowhere, at the Bonneville Salt Flats, to watch this thing. And yes, there was a fragment of the comet, or something in the comet, that looked like a spaceship that was following Hale-Bopp. So Art Bell was reporting this in 1997. And then we had the 39 members of the Heaven's Gate cult that committed suicide. I had been in contact with one of the members of the Heaven's Gate cult, and I had no idea that he was a member, just I knew that he was in a band called Dharma Combat. And we even had his producers and friends on the show to talk about, you know, what it was like for him in the Heaven's Gate cult. But see, they had all agreed that Hale-Bopp's companion was a ship that was piloted by an alien group called the Evolutionary Level Above Human. So when you see something anomalous in the sky, sometimes it'll trigger thoughts of maybe alien invasion or thoughts of the return of a god or a messiah. But see, the idea of anomalous light traveling through the sky, just seeing that video reminded me of Hale-Bopp. Just seeing that video and having an observer say, look, it's the Chariot of Fire carrying King Anu. That was creepy to me. And for many of you know my story, the Heaven's Gate cult was very close to me, very close to home. I was investigated by the FBI because of some things I said on the air the night the cult committed suicide. A lot of people thought that I knew about it, it's not what happened. I just was making a lucky, stupid guess and opening my mouth. But again, these things that happen can actually jar some sort of a vision. And I started thinking to myself, you know, how do we conceptualize the idea of a second coming? How do we conceptualize the idea of the return of Jesus? How do we conceptualize the idea of a chariot of fire coming into our atmosphere, bringing with it a king like King Anu, or a huge planet like Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever you want to call it? And how it starts coming, and we see it, and we're like going, what is this? How do you conceptualize that? I mean, we all have a belief system, right? And many of us believe in the dispensation. We believe in the end times. We believe in that, you know, the days of Earth are numbered, and we're going to start seeing changes happen before this second coming, whatever it is you believe, whether it be Jesus, whether it be the Mahdi, whether it be, you know, whatever. Everybody has the story about some God coming from heaven, some agent or emissary coming from heaven that's welcomed into the world. And I'm thinking, well, that's so easier said than done when you conceptualize the idea of a huge ball of fire coming down over an area and you have a man saying, I know with all my heart that this is the chariot of fire that is bringing King Anu into the world. And then it triggers the reminder of the Heaven's Gate cult for me. Like, I can imagine other things that is triggered in others that would probably have seen this video. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better stop.
You know, intelligent human beings should realize that everything has their cycle. They have their season. They have their beginning. They have the end. They have cycles. We're not saying that planet Earth is coming to an end. We're saying that planet Earth is about to be refurbished, spaded under.
My father is not a human father. My father is a member of the evolutionary level above human, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. My father gave me, long before this civilization, gave me birth into that kingdom level above human, that kingdom of heaven, that kingdom of God.
I am the way, the light.
For the first 3.5 years, he will appear to be a savior, a hero, miraculously solving world problems. But in the middle of the 7 years tribulation, the evil becomes paramount.
One will come. The voice from the outer world, ringing the holy war. She heart, which will cleanse the universe and bring us out of darkness.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. What does it mean if a bright light appears in the sky and a group of individuals think that it's the return of a god? What if it triggers the number of deja vu instances where I've done reports before about things like this, like what I was talking about with Heaven's Gate? They saw something in the tail of the comet, and they thought, well, it's time for us to check out, guys, because we're going to go to that spaceship that's behind the comet. And it got a lot of attention on the Art Bell Show, if you remember that. Remember the Heaven's Gate cult? They committed suicide. 39 members died, Rancho Santa Fe, in 1997. Now, there's another incident that this reminded me of, too. And like I say, there have been multiple incidents where things have happened. I don't think people remember these incidents, but I want to refresh your memory on how the conceptualization of what we're talking about here, the idea of a heavenly moment, a celestial event, something so great that it shakes us to our spiritual core. The idea that an anomalous light traveling through the sky can excite observers into thinking they're seeing an angel or a god or something like that. Again, there was a strange incident that occurred over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem back in January of 2011. It was reported that two onlookers who were standing on the Armon HaNatziv promenade, which is south of the old city of Jerusalem, captured on their cell phone camera footage of an orb that was hovering above the Temple Mount. Now, the witnesses were facing north towards the Kidron Valley some 20 minutes when they noticed this ball of light appearing in the restricted air zone over the Dome of the Rock. Now, the video was placed on YouTube, and there were several other videos from other observers of the orb. Now, these videos managed to find themselves on mainstream news. In fact, one such report was on Fox News, where Megyn Kelly had mentioned how eerie the event was, and she nervously wondered whether or not he or Jesus has returned. Here's an excerpt from that report.
Plus, what was in the skies over Jerusalem, and why did it stop over one of the most treasured sites in Christianity?
We've seen them in Mississippi like this, but never mind.
Well, if you surf around online today, and it probably will not be long before you come across footage of a UFO in the skies over Jerusalem. Now it is sparking intense debate on the internet. Trace Gallagher following this live from our West Coast News. So the question is, what was that UFO? What was it doing over Jerusalem? And, you know, is he back?
Why would that be said? What was that UFO doing over Jerusalem? And Is he back? Okay. No different than the Middle Eastern dude saying that he's seeing the chariot of fire, or the spaceship that's bringing back King Anu, or the Anunnaki, or whatever. It's the same thing, except this is a mainstream news report. Okay, this is someone earnestly asking, why was there a bright light over the Dome of the Rock and is Jesus returned? No, it wasn't Jesus. Okay, of course it wasn't. In fact, this thing went up in the sky, and then we saw an array of red lights that were in a triangular shape that were flying over the Dome of the Rock. So whatever this thing was looked like a probe of some kind. No, there wasn't a Jesus. Only reports from Haaretz News, and it wasn't, like I said, this happened in January of 2011. It wasn't until February 7th of 2011, stated that a baby was found abandoned inside the temple at the Dome of the Rock. This was after the appearance of this bright light. A baby was found abandoned inside the temple at the Dome of the Rock. The baby appeared to be in good health when police arrived upon the scene, and he was put in the care of social services. The story cited how the mosque is a politically contentious and religiously significant body or holy site in Jerusalem. Just a few days ago, during a live TV cutaway on French TV, reporters stopped what they were doing, and they focused on orbs that appeared in a triangular formation over the mosque. And so, I mean, it's amazing to me that UFO sightings like these can trigger thoughts of returning kings and messiahs. Maybe it would be hard to tell the difference. You know, I kept saying, if you don't know the difference between God and aliens, then something's wrong with you. Well, look, if you see something big in the sky that looks like a mothership and it's lighting up the entire sky and diamonds are following it, and you interpret it as the return of a god, can you be faulted for that? And if a whole group of people see it, like a nation, and they're realizing that they've seen a symbol or a signal that their Mahdi has returned, or that Messiah or Mashiach has returned, then we got a major problem we're dealing with here. You saw what it did with the 39 at the Heaven's Gate cult, right? You saw what reporting these things did. You know, 39 people listening to Art Bell, 39 people listening to other scientists saying there's something behind the comet. And Marshall Applewhite, who's the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult, says we need now to make tapes. We need to escape the planet now because the planet is going to be spayed under. It's going to be taken down. It's going to be destroyed. And we're going to leave now on a spaceship that's following the Hale-Bopp comet. That was our cue. That was our signal. Then a bright light appears over a city, and you have a Middle Eastern man saying it's King Anu, that the Anunnaki are returning. Yeah, you say he's some crazy guy, but what if a whole group of people decided that it was King Anu? I mean, Megyn Kelly's not crazy. Megyn Kelly was on Fox News reporting what was over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem back in 2001 or 2011. She's not crazy. And she said, could it be him? Is he back? A lot of other people probably felt the same way when they saw that bright light over the dome. See, I always say that, you know, timing is everything. Especially when I produce shows that somehow are a pretext for the topics that seem to emerge in the zeitgeist. And one of the first shows, of course, I mean, we did a number of shows that when we were in the transition period with Aftermath, they were banned from Aftermath for some stupid reason. I don't know why. So we had to move them over to Ground Zero Plus for people to listen to. It was a show I did about, well, first of all, we talked about the reptilian lineage. I'll get into that coming up. We got a break coming, but I just wanted to talk about that. But this is fascinating stuff about how a light in the sky, a comet in the sky, something that looks like a huge UFO in the sky can trigger thoughts of the return of a Messiah. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. me. You know, I'd say, oh, it's another crank out there trying to convince us of something. But no, it was pretty rudimentary, actually. It was a, looks like what they call a road cam. You know, they use for traffic, a traffic cam. And that it was picking up this UFO, like I said, and it was huge. It had diamonds, you know, coming behind it. It looked like diamonds. And this guy convinced that it was a holy sighting. It was something that was holy. It was, he said King Anu. I mean, that was one thing. I mean, he was in a different accent. I mean, a different, he was speaking, he sounded like he was in a Middle Eastern accent. And he was speaking, you know, half English, half whatever it was, Farsi. I don't know what he was speaking. But I just hear the words King Anu and then spaceship. And I immediately say to myself, yeah, okay, that's pretty bizarre to have somebody that triggered by it. I mean, and here's the thing. You know, we all have affirmed, many of us believe that we're not alone in the universe. And many of us have agreed that, you know, it's a lot scarier to think we're alone than not. And we have to understand something, that our leaders, even though they're being very, very, I don't know if it's trepidatious or whatever, they're preparing us for something. They're preparing us for some of the very real possibilities that something's going on out there. Scientists too. NASA does the same thing. They lead. It's like they bait us. Like they take and they put the bait on the hook, and we bite the bait on the hook, and they say, "Hey, nothing to see here." But yet they continually do things like they actually snuck in under the radar. They landed a lunar lander on the moon, and now they're taking pictures of all of the domes and all of the strangeness that's out there. I know Richard Hoagland. We tried to get a hold of Richard, and he and I. We're talking about this. Maybe we'll do a show about it. I don't know. But I'm just saying that, you know, you get all these real possibilities going on in space. You get all these real, you know, indications. You get whistleblowers and all these people. They're saying, got to pay attention, man. Something's going down. It's going to be disclosure. It's going to be abrupt. It's going to be real. And you're not going to be able to deny it. And what we're getting here is a modern version of the War of the Worlds. Right? It's that War of the Worlds scenario with Orson Welles. But, you know, the War of the Worlds scenario, it's not so far-fetched anymore. Really. It's the reason why we need to pay attention to what the government is planning. Now, you can believe it's a great deception. You can believe whatever you want. But right now, as I said, we've seen these things happen before. We've seen big bright lights over cities, and somebody's thought that, hey, this is a signal that something's coming. In this case, it was King Anu, the Anunnaki. Some guy thinks it's King Anu. In the case of Heaven's Gate, it was the evolutionary level above human. It was traveling on a comet to another planet. 39 people decide to end their lives by eating applesauce and barbiturates. And now, you know, and then, of course, I talked about what happened with the Dome of the Rock. We had that UFO happen in 2011. Megyn Kelly got startled by it. She talked about it, wondering if he has arrived. What prompted that? He has arrived. Because it sounds like the return of Jesus or King Anu or whoever. You understand? It's almost like, you know, I'm wondering if people will know the difference. I mean, all you need is a great number of individuals believing they had a huge religious experience from space, some sort of cosmic religious experience that takes place, and they can't explain it. And immediately we start thinking and start preparing for the end of the world. Right? I mean, it's amazing to me that these things can trigger these types of thoughts. And as I said, I mean, one of the shows that I did that was banned from Aftermath was a show I did about reptilian lineage and how it was used by rulers of the world to bring about what they see as divine right to control the world. And what that is literally an alien lineage that claims that certain bloodlines carried from the ancient days are still flowing through the veins of European royalty. And this hidden order gave us the concepts shared in the mystery religions. It codified the rites of sacrifice, centralized access to extra-dimensional entities, and was responsible for creating the concepts that are given to us in the Bible and other sacred texts. We've heard all of this from sages and shaman. We've heard of the secret chiefs that literally watch over the planet, the Grigori, the Elohim. So if we're to believe the power of seances or the contact of interdimensional beings, we have to understand that these secret chiefs are able to transmit their wishes to the elite. They use cataclysmic cycles as a means to push evolutionary growth, and they establish their empires using humans within the intelligence community. And what it is, and these guys, you know what, they act without any notions of morality. They do what has to be done. You know, they sit in a meeting and they're talking and they're looking over their charts, and one guy says, "Oh, this is not going to work. We're going to have to take out this guy." And President Trump says, "Well, who? Soleimani. Okay, it'll be done. Let's do it." So they take out Soleimani. Another day, they meet with President Trump. "What do we got to do now? We got to take out the guy, the head of Al-Qaeda." "Okay, that's done. We'll do that." It's just that quick. And so you can imagine if they got together and said, "Mr. President, there was a big bright light that appeared over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, and they found a baby in the mosque. What do we say about that?" He says, "Investigate it to make sure that it's not a god. Investigate it to make sure it's not some emissary from on high. We need to get down to the bottom of this. Make sure the baby hasn't been sent to Area 51 or some other crazy place for it to be dissected and turned into a lab rat." Let's go to Sherry in South Carolina. Hey, Sherry, you're on Ground Zero. Sherry, hello, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey there.
Hey, go ahead.
You know, you asked, there's two things, truth and deception.
Sure.
The world is being deceived.
Okay.
I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
The fact is, we got all these Christians, churches, et cetera, you know, believing Jesus is going to come back.
Right.
They're praying in the name of Jesus. You can't get anything done unless it's in the name of Jesus.
Right.
The J was not even invented, adopted into any language until the mid-1500s. Therefore, nobody that lived 2,000 years ago was named Jesus. So, let's start there. People don't want to know the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe. They want to believe what they were taught. They want to believe what everybody else believes.
So you're saying that no one was named Jesus 2,000 years ago?
Correct.
Okay.
That's a fact.
What were they named? If they didn't have names like
Yeshua.
Yeshua? Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. It would have been a Hebrew name. He spoke Arabic.
He did.
And then
He spoke Aramaic, but that's okay.
Aramaic, and then more modern day English. I mean,
Jesus spoke English?
Hebrew, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure this out because you're giving me all these things, and I'm like thinking, okay, I got to dig back and figure out if what you're saying is true. Okay, go ahead.
Hebrew.
Okay, Hebrew.
But they don't go back and study the original scriptures at all.
Okay.
They're being told what the church is telling them. Therefore, they think Jesus is going to come in.
We're running out of time. I just want to ask you a question. So you're standing there in the middle of the field. You see this big bright light in the sky. You see a number of lights gathering together. They're gathering together on both sides of the horizon. And you see this other bright light coming down, hovering above the ground. What do you think it is?
Demons.
Coming from heaven. Seriously, you think demons come from heaven?
I believe we live in a spiritual world.
Right.
I believe we're in a spiritual warfare. It's not just what we see with our eyes.
So it couldn't be angels or Jesus. It has to be demons.
Well, number one, his name wasn't Jesus.
Well, okay, and I don't argue that. I just want to know. You think it's demons over Jesus and angels, right?
I think it's deception, yes.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that. I still don't understand how it could be demons and not Jesus and angels. Even King Anu, I don't know. 503-225-0860, we'll be back. Let's face it, guys. We're living in times where the truth is becoming more suppressed and censorship is increasing at an alarming rate, especially on social media platforms. It's Clyde, and I want to tell you about a safe and secure digital playground we put together just for you. It's aftermath.media. You get access to thousands of Ground Zero archives and podcasts, along with our private social media groups with your basic membership starting at only $7 a month. Each subscription includes tech support, access to the RSS feeds, along with our own chat room and Telegram channel. In addition, the premium membership includes research study groups, webinars, a document and movie library, a live video stream of Ground Zero, a monthly Zoom chat with me, and other bonus content. Be sure to check out our yearly specials as well. Sign up today while you're thinking about it. Sign up at aftermath.media. Again, that's aftermath.media.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jamie."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up,
give up,
give up."
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So back in 1972... we remember Carl Sagan. Remember Carl Sagan? Carl Sagan convinced NASA to place a plaque on the Pioneer 10 space probe. So his idea was that if extraterrestrials should stumble across the spacecraft, that they would find a kind of greeting card. So they made this gold disc. It's kind of like the first CD, or the first DVD, I guess. Gold, and it could play music, it could play, greetings from planet Earth, kind of a greeting card, right? Kind of a Hallmark card, but all in gold. And etched on the disc was the drawing of a man with his hand raised and a woman, both are buck naked, naked as a jaybird, and, of course, makes a person a little uncomfortable to see nudity on a disc being sent to aliens. But still, what's really uncomfortable here is that the plaque shows our location in the solar system. Like, here we are, guys. You know, come home. Come here. You know, and a lot of people said, that's not a good idea, guys. Don't wave your hand to a big hello from the aliens. They're going to come down and they're going to eat us. I mean, come by for a barbecue, guys. Guess who's for dinner? Guess who we're having for dinner? You. To serve man, baby. To serve man. So, It's been many times shown in science fiction movies that first thing the aliens do when they arrive to our planet is they want to remove you. They want to eat people. They want to kill people. They want to devise a way to rule over us. They see us as cattle and nothing more. They abduct us. They probe us. Think about that for a moment. And you might think that all this is shared by only people wearing tinfoil hats. No, not at all. No. When people propose sending radio transmissions to the stars in our galactic neighborhood, no less an authority than physicist Stephen Hawking asked them to, he said it the nicest way possible in an electronic voice, have you lost your minds? Pretty much that's what he said. You know, have you lost your minds, guys? He reminded us of the War of the Worlds, of course, the movie, the George Powell movie, and now we have Independence Day and a remake of War of the Worlds to keep reminding us. Guys, don't F AFO with aliens. Okay, you just don't do that. In fact, what was it? I think it was, I can't remember the name of the, Skyline. Remember the movie Skyline? It was a movie called Skyline where they talk about how, you know, Native Americans had their first contact with Europeans, and the reporter says, didn't turn out very well for the Native Americans. Nope, didn't. So, I mean, usually when we talk about apocalyptic scenarios, we have all these ideas of what could happen. Asteroid could hit us, earthquake, huge hurricane, flood. I mean, Noah had a flood. Why don't we have a flood? Oh, because God promised he wouldn't flood us again, but I don't know. I don't know if that's a promise that can be kept anymore. We see all the flooding going on in California. But, yeah, a lot of apocalyptic scenarios. And I don't know if the Bible really says anything about aggressive aliens, but in a matter of speaking, there are things that we do fight. Like if you, like the Apostle Paul, when he said, you know, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this age, or spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places. Well, in science fiction movies, we're under the attack all the time by creatures. They're physical beings, much like us. We can deal with in the same way we deal with human enemies. We outsmart them. We hide from them. Even if they have superior firepower. Even, you know, I mean, we seldom think about the big light in the sky and how it appears and it triggers a religion or a new religion, or it triggers someone into thinking that there is some God out there arriving undercover. Remember that happened to Saul of Tarsus in the Bible. He saw a bright light, came to, was blinded, and said, now I'm going to be a Roman evangelist for Jesus. Same thing happened with Ezekiel. He saw a wheel within a wheel, and he tried to get those to stop worshiping idols. Same thing happened with Joseph Smith. He went into a grove of trees, saw two big lights come down on top of him, and said, hey guys, you know, your religion's wrong. Now, let's get married. Seven times, eight times. That's basically how it goes. Bright light triggers some religious thinking, and boom, we have a religion. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because this morning I had something happen that I thought was really weird, and it made me have a little deja vu. I received a couple of videos from a friend, or I don't know if it's somebody from Facebook. You know, they're all my friends. I read their stuff. I've worn for them. I don't have anything to read. And so I'm looking at this video, and it's like this video cam of some city. I don't even know what it was. It was a bridge, buses and bikes and everything going on. It's night vision. It looks like, you know, city of bridges. You think of Chicago, you think of Portland, Oregon, you think of, you know, places where bridges are crossing rivers, where a river runs through it. You know what I'm saying? So the person who sent them, or the person who basically was video, had the video of this, was reacting to this bright light in the sky that was coming down, and he sounded like he was from the Middle East. He was excited because he started saying that the recording was a spaceship that was bringing with it King Anu. Anu. King Anu. And I thought, yeah, okay, a little crazy. But then something came over me. It was like this deja vu that I had to, you know, think about. Started thinking about Zechariah Sitchin. I started thinking about Nibiru because of King Anu and the Anunnaki and everything. And so I knew there was no way of proving that what I was seeing was the arrival of a Sumerian king. But as I watched this video, I remember that, of course, Zechariah Sitchin said that the Anunnaki were supposed to be returning sometime after the year 2000. Some people were saying it was between, what, the mid-2000s to, what, 2046 or something like that. And he wrote a book called The End of Days, Armageddon, The Prophecy of the Return. Zechariah Sitchin predicted the Anunnaki would return to Earth. It would begin with the sighting of a chariot of fire carrying Anu, the king. And then Nibiru comes along, basically Planet X, and you all know what happens with that. So, for those of you who don't know who King Anu is, he's a Sumerian sky god of all gods, demons, evil spirits. He's also the god of kings and the yearly calendar. Anu was also depicted with horns and a headdress to symbolize strength. Kind of a, I don't know, whenever I think of gods with horns, I don't think of God. I just think of demons. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. We'll be back. So it struck me as odd that this videographer, watching this video, saw this big bright light. It looked like it had diamonds behind it. And claimed that what he was watching was the arrival of King Anu, of the Anunnaki. And I thought, that's odd. Why, well, of all the things to talk about, King Anu. It got me thinking of Zechariah Sitch. It got me thinking of Nibiru. It got me thinking of the Anunnaki and that the Anunnaki is supposed to make a return. Now, you know, things like this, imagine if it wasn't just this one guy that saw this bright light and thought it was the arrival of King Anu. What if a group of people thought that it was that? That it would start a religious movement, wouldn't it? Don't you think? I mean, think of the secrets of Fatima. Remember those children and the people that saw that disc fly in the sky and they didn't know what it was? It was another type of UFO event, but turned into a spiritual experience. But see, all of this triggered some thoughts in my mind of past experiences I had in radio, like back in the days of Art Bell in 1997, just prior to the Heaven's Gate suicides. Art Bell was talking about this companion that was following Hale-Bopp, the comet. And he had everybody on talking about this and made a big deal of it. And then the 39 people died. They said they were going to follow that comet. They wanted to go up and be a part of the comet. And so that stopped really quick because, you know, again, a lot of people thought that this was some sort of sign from God, actually Marshall Applewhite, and his followers saw it as a sign of God, so they committed suicide in Rancho Santa Fe. There was another thing, too, and I played this last night, and I find this interesting. Another strange incident occurred over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. This was back in 2011. It was reported that two onlookers were there south of the old city, Jerusalem. They were looking at the Dome of the Rock, and they had their cell phones, and they captured footage of an orb that was hovering above the Temple Mount. They said they were facing north towards the Kidron Valley. They were 20 minutes standing there looking, and they saw this ball of light, and it was coming down over the restricted air zone over the Dome of the Rock. The video was placed on YouTube. It went viral, and there were several other videos and several other angles of this video, and it made Fox News. And what I thought was interesting was Megyn Kelly's reaction and how she reported it. It was really interesting to see, you know, what was going on because, you know, it's not every day that, you know, a big UFO over the Dome of the Rock happens, and she was beside herself. In fact, some people say she was frightened. Just listen to the exchange between her and another reporter with regard to what happened over the Dome of the Rock.
Well, if you surf around online today, and it probably will not be long before you come across footage of a UFO in the skies over Jerusalem. Now it is sparking intense debate on the internet. Trace Gallagher following this live from our West Coast News. So the question is, what was that UFO? What was it doing over Jerusalem? And, you know, is he back?
Yeah, and that is the question, by the way, Megan, because, you know, critics, it's difficult for them to dismiss this because there are so many different angles. We've got four different videos, all from various perspectives, showing this light above the Dome on the Rock. In Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, of course, we know, which is a holy site for both Jews and Muslims. You see the shining ball of light, right? It's above there. It's kind of, well, they just froze it and really can't see it now. But there it is right there. It's at the top of the screen.
Yeah.
It's up there and it hovers, kind of a pulsating orb. And then hold on here because this thing starts going down right toward, you see it there, going down toward the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount. And then it stops and it hovers there for a while. It kind of sits there, and then all of a sudden it shoots straight back up into the air.
Whoa.
Now, experts say this would be kind of an indication this is an unmanned. There it is. You saw it right there. It shot straight back up in the air. Yeah. It's kind of hard to see, but it shot up in the air, and the experts think that, you know, it's an unmanned vehicle, they believe. It could be a drone, but they do not know of anything like this in the Israeli army.
So there you have an exchange between Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly and another reporter about a UFO sighting over Jerusalem. Then again, you know, she said, what was it and is he back? And that was hinting and indicating, was that the arrival of Jesus or something else? Is he back? So I just found that interesting that she made that comment about this UFO that happened over the Dome of the Rock. Now, Jesus didn't show up, but there were reports from Haaretz News back in February of 2011 that during that time there was a baby, actually. They found this baby, and it was abandoned inside the temple at the Dome of the Rock, and the baby appeared to be in good health, they said. They turned the baby over to social services. No one has heard from the baby since that time. But see, here we go. We're looking at a bright light over a mosque, especially a mosque that is politically contentious and religiously significant because it's a holy site in Jerusalem. There was also a few days ago, there was a live TV cutaway on French TV. Reporters stopped what they were doing. They focused on orbs that appeared in a triangular formation over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So there's a lot of activity happening there in the Holy Land. So it's amazing to me that, you know, UFO sightings, I always find it fascinating that UFO sightings can trigger religious thoughts, whether it be King Anu, whether it be Jesus, whether it be the evolutionary level above human. I mean, it's hard to tell the difference, I guess. A lot of people are triggered by this. But timing is everything when I produce shows. And I would say that, you know, a lot of them are pretext for the zeitgeist. So we talked about this. We talked about global structure necessary to eliminate competing systems. We have to welcome the secret chiefs, which, of course, are the Anunnaki and others. And, in fact, during the show, Evangelion, we talked about the alien experience being seen as sort of a spiritual experience, that the idea of having aliens, angels, and demons being put in the category of non-human intelligence would work quite well. I mean, that's more preferable for me, framing of what can be seen as the halfway point between science and religious thought. So, I mean, it's suspected that the marriage between the two would be the basis for adding alien life to the spectrum of God's creations, bringing alien life into the realms of religion. So from the Aurelians to the Arthurius Society, Unarius Society, Scientology, Heaven's Gate, the idea of a relationship between God and alien visitors, both past and present, have captured the imagination of a lot of people who investigate UFOs. But nothing like this, in my opinion, has triggered some deja vu, as this did with me today, about the King Anu arrival in his chariot of fire. And I know that a lot of stories have evolved. A lot of opinions are there about spiritual experiences to find that halfway deal between science and what producers call the alien abduction experiences. However, we had a caller that just called in the first hour, and I asked her point blank. I said, tell me something. If you saw bright lights form on both sides of the horizon, and then you saw another bright light come down from the sky, what would you think was going on? And she said, demons. I said, what? She said, demons. I would think that it's demons arriving. I said, bright lights on the east, bright lights on the west, and the beautiful bright light coming down from the sky reminds you of demons. And I thought, it's interesting. I don't know how she came up with that. I was thinking to myself, well, that's how I would see the second coming, and much like the King Anu arrival, where the guy said he saw this huge bright ball of light. It was on video, and it had diamonds behind it. It looked like diamonds. I mean, that triggers a nice spiritual, if not religious, experience. It's done so for prophets in the past. Why can't it do it for regular human beings? But just the idea that it's demons, that's something that I think needs to be explored here, because I don't understand I guess that's how she sees demons arriving on the planet, if there are demons. I mean, look, it could be aliens. It could be aliens, of course. King Anu is supposed to be an alien, or is supposed to be an Anunnaki alien type of character. And he was said to return. Zechariah Sitchin said that he would return with his other Anunnaki cohorts. That would be happening between now and 2046. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
With us.
With us.
With us. With us. With us. With us.
This is now referred to as the Main Road event. At 20:55 last night, a column of what appeared to be daylight, the exact radius of the Main Road Stadium, was projected into the night sky. The event persisted for a total of 8 hours, fading only at dawn, 5:30 GMT.
During that time, it is estimated that over 300 cameras from practically every television station in the world arrived in Manchester. That's an estimate of 2,000 hours of video footage, all recording the same event.
How can it be fake? 2,000 hours of video.
No, look, I think the question is, how can it be real? I mean, are you serious?
Little line of tape was England in the skies over Jerusalem. And why did it stop over one of the most treasured sites in Christianity?
Or, in old language, a couple thousand years old, disciples. Those who are trying to prepare themselves for entry into the evolutionary level. Above human, synonymous with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth, about to be recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
What was that UFO? What was it doing over Jerusalem? And, you know, is he back?
You're listening to Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. The thing that really gets me here is that something as simple as a light in the sky got this guy excited about King Anu and the arrival of King Anu. It took a companion in the tale of Hale Bob to get 39 people to commit suicide in a cult. It took a light over Jerusalem, over the Dome of the Rock, to have somebody like Megyn Kelly refer to the possibility of he has returned. Do you understand how powerful that is? You understand how powerful it is for something like that to happen? And a whole group of people were convinced that a god had returned or an alien had returned or something had happened. We'd have our alien invasion. We'd have our second coming. It just depends on how people, I mean, like I said, you look at the third secret of Fatima. You look at the Fatima, the kids that saw the vision and the people that saw the vision of the sun and the Virgin Mary in the sky. Okay. Maybe they didn't see a Virgin Mary. I mean, L.A. Marzulli has been on the show many times saying that, no, what they saw was a UFO. Let's go to Dave in Arizona. Hey, Dave, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Great show, as always. I was content to listen tonight, but Sherry just kind of rankled me like a cheese grater on my skin. for Google, of all places, Clyde, acknowledges that Jesus of Nazareth existed. Okay. You can debate whatever his name was, but Google says that he existed.
I want to say something else, too. Okay. And I'm not going to make too many friends by saying this, I guess. Why do they say Yeshua? Do they think, you know what that is? That's virtue signaling, I believe. Because every time I hear people say, no, it's Yeshua. That's how you really say it, Yeshua. Okay, you can say that. I say Jesus. I just don't think I'm that hoity-toity to call Jesus Yeshua or JJ.
A messianic Jew. Yeah, if you're a messianic Jew,
is that
like
what it's
Jonathan
about?
Cahn,
is that
then
what is? You have to be a messianic Jew to do that? I'm just thinking, you know, because I don't know if you remember, we tried to do an exorcism on the air a while ago, and some guy called into the show and he wanted to be exorcised on the air. I don't know if you remember that. And he said, okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, I want you in the name of, to say that Jesus is your Savior. He goes, Yeshua is my Savior. He says, no, Jesus is your Savior. Yeshua is my Savior. And he hung up and he said, I can't do an exorcist. He doesn't accept Jesus as his Savior. I'm going, this is insane. This is so insane. It's like, because he wanted to hear the word Jesus, not the word. He says, He says, I don't work in the name of Yeshua. I work in the name of Jesus. And I've always felt that that's virtue signaling within the religious groups. Where they Yeshua or whatever. I don't know.
I'm sure you remember Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And when he was standing there trying to decide how to get through these traps, and he's like, but in Hebrew, it begins with a Y instead of a J or something like that. Yeah. You know, I mean,
and it's true. Everybody bases their mythologies on Nazis and stuff on Hogan's Heroes reruns and Raiders of the Lost Ark. I swear to God. They hear it in a Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, and it's real. You don't say anything but Yeshua. That's how it is.
There's a book. The man's name is Lee Strobel. It's less than 300 pages. It's called The Case for Christ. It's available on Amazon. He was not a believer, and after he did this research for the book, he became one. So, yeah. Sherry, I encourage you to go out and read that. That being said, I love talking about the Anunnaki. In I think it's John 10:16. Jesus said there are other sheep who are not of this flock, and he's going to bring them under. So
I want to ask you a question. Fantastic. Another thing that really got me was when I was saying, okay, so you see lights on one side, the west, lights on one side, the east. You see this beautiful light come down out of the sky. What's the first thing you think of? And she said, demons. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry she feels that way. Like I'm grabbing a sandwich and some coffee and I'm heading out there, man. I want to see it. What did he say? As the lightning flashes from the east to the west.
Yeah. That's what I was describing. That's what I was trying to describe. Is that lightning flashes from the east to the west and then cometh the Savior on a white horse. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you see something similar to this going on and you're watching it, why would you think demons?
I don't know, man. It's got to be something that you were taught.
Something in the water. Something in the water.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, yeah.
All right, yeah.
So,
all right.
But no, I'm running out there, man. I'm grabbing a sandwich and a coffee, and I'm going to go check it out. I'm all in it.
I know
I'm
you don't do that sort of thing, but how about mushrooms? What do you think? Just for the first time.
I haven't done those in a while.
Oh, I thought you'd never done them at all. There you go. See,
No, sir.
I haven't ever done mushrooms, although I did want to do mushrooms and watch Fantasia, but I got talked out of it. Anyway, so yeah. Too few mushrooms, watch the Lord of Hosts come out of the sky. That Taurus, I think you know.
Just don't stare into the fireplace. That's not a good thing.
Exactly. Wear those glasses you wore for the eclipse. He's coming, and you're in big trouble if you look directly at the light. That's true. It's so true.
But I'm loving the show, man. Oh, thank you for doing this. Love it.
Thank you. You bet. It is. It's something that, like I say, I don't think people actually conceptualize and nor do they have protocols. I don't think this country has, I mean, one nation under God, indivisible, right? That's what they say. In God we trust. Okay, I want somebody to sit down with President Trump, and I want to ask him what the protocols are for welcoming a God back from heaven. What are the protocols? Oh, yeah, global thermal nuclear war. No, you know what I mean? Jesus shows up at the White House and he says to President Trump, I'm going to return in a bigger way in the next couple of weeks. What do you say to that? You think Trump's going to say, okay? No. He's going to say global thermal nuclear war. He's going to say something else. Oh, tariffs. He's going to say tariffs. I mean, do we really seriously think about this? We talk about it. Our preachers preach to us about it. We scare ourselves to death reading Revelation 13. I mean, come on. Anyway, love to hear your opinion tonight. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Back with Ground Zero. Don't go away. We'll be right back. you, North Carolina. Hey, Reggie, you're on Ground Zero.
Thank you, Clyde. I enjoy your show. I found your show about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's a terrific program, one of my favorites now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I would like to touch on two things concerning the second coming and then the greatest news in the world that nobody ever talks about that's in the Bible.
And what's that?
First of all, you have the rapture, which God's people go up and meet Christ. And then the Battle of Armageddon would be the second coming, where the saints come back with Christ and defeat the Antichrist.
Okay.
Which happens. And then something that's never touched on, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this.
Okay.
The Bible is a love story, and it's Christ did the work. Now, I'm a believer.
Uh-huh.
I was baptized in a Baptist church. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I'm a strong believer. But the Bible is full of scripture, which says that Christ is the Savior of all mankind, whether you believe it or not. Most people join their church for fire insurance. And I would submit to you that the church has been teaching for millennia that unless you come down that aisle, unless you make a commitment, you're going to burn in a torture chamber forever and ever. And the Bible does not teach that. Right?
It's like George Carlin says, you know, if you don't do what God says, he's going to throw you in a place you're going to be tortured for forever and all eternity. But he loves you.
He loves you. He tells you to forgive 70 times 7.
Yeah.
Yet he's unwilling to forgive sinners. Now, if 85 or 90% of mankind is going to be in a torture chamber, then Christ was a failure.
Gosh, you're amazing. Yeah. You are so amazing. You know why you're amazing? I said the same thing one time. I said that, look, if there's more people in heaven than there are, if there's more people in hell than there are in heaven, then God was a failure. I've said that before. You are right. You are so right that I don't see why. That's okay. I don't want to sound like a religious fanatic show, but let's just talk about this. Repentance is the way we get back in the good graces of God because of the saving grace of the atonement. Damn it. That was so brilliant. That was brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, it's not brilliant on my part.
What's that?
It's not me being brilliant. It's the Bible.
Okay.
Telling me.
All right.
If you
hey,
were right.
Why don't you take credit when I give it to you? Please take credit.
Thank you very much.
You're brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. But seriously,
I like the difference between Elvis and Conway Twitty. Elvis is thank you very much. Conway Twitty is hello, darling. Okay, go ahead.
Elvis could sing gospel music better than Conway Twitty.
I'm sorry I threw you off with your brilliance, but I just want to tell you, that's probably one of the best things you've said. Because I have said that, too. I've said, why would God put us on a mission of failure? And the reason why we wouldn't fail is because we have an out. We have an out.
When Jesus was on the cross, he said it is finished.
Yes.
And he said it is finished for one reason, because he did the work.
Okay.
If our salvation depends on something, now don't get me wrong, I did it. I'm a believer.
Okay.
I was baptized.
Okay.
Now, if our salvation depends on something that we do, then Christ didn't save anybody. We're saving ourselves.
Preach it, brother. But I got to tell you something. We're going way off track, dude. I love you, but we're going way off track.
I just want to give you these two verses though before you go.
Okay, I'm a sucker.
I know you got a piece of paper, so write them down and look them up. First Timothy 4:9-10, and the other one is 1 Corinthians 15:20-28, and there's many more. But both of those verses talk about the Savior of all men.
Okay.
And if you look them up, if you want to call me back.
Okay, I just want to say, let's get back on track. Aliens too, do you think?
I think every knee shall bow.
Including aliens.
And every tongue shall confess. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. You're my man. I'm inviting you to my parties. I swear. That's great stuff. I love you.
What's your address?
You're the man. You are such the man tonight. You have made my night. You really have.
Will you pay for the Uber ride from North Carolina to Portland?
I can barely pay for my Uber rides to my car that I have to park clear the hell away from my apartment complex. Anyway, thank you for the call. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. You bet. Thank you, Todd.
All right, bye-bye. What a great, great caller that was. I mean, I know we went off track, went a little religious, but you don't mind, do you? I know some of you do, but I'm just saying. I mean, when you're talking about this stuff, when you're talking about light triggers in the sky and how they've created religions in the past with, you know, Ezekiel, and you look at, you know, you look at Saul of Tarsus, you look at, you know, all, I mean, I don't know, everybody has seen a light. Seeing the light, that's what it is. You see the light, and it turns on something in you, and you go, you know what? That's King Anu, and I know it's King Anu, and he's coming with his Anunnaki, and by damn, I'm ready for it. Or something appeared over the Dome of the Rock, and I'm just wondering if he has arrived. There's nothing wrong with that. Because we've been taught this. That light is the disinfectant, right? That light comes, and when the light's in the skies, you know, you're going to wake up and go, wow, signs of the times. Signs and wonders have I seen. Because like I said, usually that doesn't faze me. But this guy was like, oh my gosh, can it just be, just freaking out. You know, King Anu. And I'm like, I can think about Zechariah Sitchin probably if he was still alive. They would go, yes, he's here. But, you know, and you've seen this before. You've seen this before with Heaven's Gate. You've seen this before with the Dome of the Rock. You've seen this before with several other instances where people have seen a light and they start a religion. It's not anything new. The thing is it right? Is it something, I mean, like I said, we seldom think about we seldom conceptualize what the second coming would be like. And I can tell you now, it would be similar to that of an alien invasion. In fact, I was reading today about a guy, the MTSU Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies hosted a seminar called Why UFO Religions Matter. And they were bringing up questions from the students of how UFO religions begin. A guy by the name of Benjamin Zeller, he was a professor and chair of religion from Lake Forest College. He spoke at the event, and he's written many academic journals and stuff about UFO religions and how lights in the sky and wonders of the heaven have created religions, especially here in America. And he says, I think UFO religions matter because they're not that different from other religions. They do the same basic thing, but they're referent points are very different. Zeller introduced the origins of the idea of the UFO, what are considered the first sightings of them, and how they entered pop culture. He also defined UFO religion as a religious movement or spirituality based on ideas about outer space, its inhabitants, and their technologies. How close are we to another UFO religion if we have a guy jumping up and down about King Anu arriving from the skies, something appearing over the Dome of the Rock? This is something amazing. It's another sign and wonder in the heaven. David Masters is going to be with us coming up on Ground Zero. So stay tuned for that. We discuss this more. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
The new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app. free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Join me on a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. Where the past, present, and the future all coexist on the same timeline. Where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now. Where our phones are the first things that we touch when we wake up. The last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Father, welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should be."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should be."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should be."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So between Strange Lights in the Sky, the announcement of King Anu's return, that's debatable, but still an interesting thought, the Anunnaki, Zechariah Sitchin had talked about the Anunnaki Nibiru. But I just thought the guy's excitement was just over the top. And it triggered a lot of things in me, a lot of sense of deja vu with the Dome of the Rock UFO appearance in 2011, the Heaven's Gate situation in 1997, and of course the speaker who, Benjamin Zeller, who spoke at Lake Forest College about UFO religions. And he talked about the idea of UFOs and how the first sightings may have triggered religions. He spoke about Heaven's Gate, Unarius Academy, the Arthurian Society, the Raelian Church, Valley of the Dawn. And see, all these guys have been around for years without any incidents like the Heaven's Gate cult. But he was trying to compare them to mainstream religions and how they view aliens and what they see as, you know, and we did a whole show about this, I guess it was a couple weeks ago or a few days ago when we were talking about Evangelion, the good news, if you will. So, I mean, there are many possible interpretations for what causes these religions, including anxieties about, well, we live in times, signs of the times, dispensationalist times, the atomic age, Cold War, combination of religion and New Age science, and of course, you know, everybody is looking for something called collective salvation. In the last 15 minutes of this speech, he opened the floor to audience questions, and students asked about the controversial leaders of religions, the possibility of more forming and how they're evolved and more. And they started talking about the advent of the arrival or a return of a non-human extraterrestrial intelligence to this earth. And that's been the subject of biblical prophecy, as we had pointed out. The non-human extraterrestrial intelligence is the way to refer to what is out there in heaven, what is out there in the different dimensions. The interdimensional beings could be those non-human intelligences. Because it's better than saying God is an alien or God is an extraterrestrial. He certainly is a non-human intelligence. And so, you know, and all of these different stories have been shared for millennia, from the ancient Hindus to the stories of Mesopotamian demons and gods. All have promised to usher in the epoch of the eschaton. William Bramley, he's a war historian and lawyer. He wrote Gods of Eden. You should read that book. I suggest it's something you read. It basically talks about how it's evident that UFOs and aliens always seem to show up in times of history where there are major changes that are about to occur, and most of them are earth-shattering. A lot of them have made history. Some of them are cataclysmic. We talk about Harry Truman and what he said about UFOs and what they mean to us. You talk about meetings of Eisenhower. You got Kennedy. There's always been that secret about whether or not the mother of all cover-ups is that something has been directing governments from a distance. I have to tell you, I don't know why I was so inspired, why I was so intrigued by the video I saw this morning. I know that it struck me as odd that the man describing what he saw was the arrival of King Anu. And then I stopped and wondered, what would happen if a light in the sky turned out to be another well-known god returning? And would it be similar? And what is the conception? I don't really think people stop and really conceptualize what the second coming would entail. I know that we have seen artist renditions of, like, multitudes of angels on either side of the horizon blowing trumpets. And this figure of the man comes down in a pillar of light, declaring himself God. I mean, would people actually believe this? Would they have the same faith as that videographer had? He was so convinced that he was seeing the spaceship that was bringing King Anu. It's one of those great mysteries of the dispensation. If timing is right, we may live to see the reaction to fire from the sky and tempest in the heavens, remember lightning to the east and the west. We hear a voice come down from heaven saying, and here is the Creator. I don't know if it's going to be that dramatic. I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, I don't know if it's going to be like the Beatles. I don't know if it's going to be like the opening to a Kiss concert. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be huge, right? It's not going to be like Star Wars or something. I mean, how many times do we hear about interpretations? How many times have we heard, like Oppenheimer say that there have been explosions far greater than that of the nuclear bomb in the past? How many times have we heard that people have lived through different extinction level events, that the trauma has been passed down from generation to generation, that the earlier generations saw the end of the world maybe four or five times before we get to see it? What about a government's reaction to the second coming? I mean, that would likely depend heavily on the specific details of the event as described in religious texts, but generally it would probably be a mix of confusion, fear, attempts to maintain order, and potential religious interpretations depending on the prevailing beliefs of the leadership and population. So some governments potentially trying to control the narrative and others attempting to adapt to the perceived new reality. One religion or one group has to surrender and say, this is that God or this is not that God. Or we still have division amongst the people, division amongst the Abrahamic religious groups, Jews, Muslims, Christians, all trying to convince you that that event that happened was their God, their concept of revelation, their concept of dispensation and eschaton. The concept of revelation of Jesus on a white horse coming down of the sky, clouds with hordes of saints, that has to be taken figuratively. I mean, it's a picture of the end of evolution in the complete sense before the entirety of humans already dead will rise to a new life. The Battle of Armageddon, I mean, that'd be similar. Taking this all as literal creates this imaginary picture of details of the eschaton, meaning end of days, end of time. And we don't have much to draw from that with regard to this event, only something similar to an alien mothership with divine beings coming down from the sky to announce the arrival of the promised Creator and Savior. Science imagines various life forms. We only have a small, if we remove the science, we only have a small view through a keyhole. David Masters is coming up on Ground Zero to talk more about what we're talking about tonight. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. exciting moment because we have David Masters on the show tonight. Radio host and author with a wide range of expertise. He's been helping others achieve their highest potential since the late 1970s. He's a master trainer and creative problem solver. David has worked with top business and entrepreneurs. He's been recognized for his talents in multiple modalities. As a radio host, David has co-hosted Perilous World Radio on 33 stations. Has also worked as a senior executive producer at Talk Radio Network, producing four of the top 10 rated U.S. talk radio programs in syndication. As an author, David has written books along with creating ads for The Lord of the Rings, District 9, Halo, and Doctor Who collector items. He's also worked as a voiceover artist and creative writer. David is the host of the podcast Spooky Action in the Distance, which will be returning to GroundZeroPlus.com. David Masters, welcome to Ground Zero.
Wow, what a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Clyde.
It's good to have you, and I was very happy that I saw, and I don't want to give away, you know, the secrets of the backstage here, but you even had some thoughts about the show tonight. You actually put together some talking points that are fascinating. Okay. So you know what happened to me today, right? I was watching a video.
Yes.
And this Middle Eastern guy is doing color commentary with this huge UFO, and I don't know what city it was over. It looked like England. It looked like Portland. It was a city of rivers. So all these rivers, and then you see this UFO. It looked like it had diamonds trailing behind it, and this guy is so overwhelmed and excited, and he says to himself, "This is a spaceship bringing King Anu." And the first thing I thought of was Zechariah Sitchin and what he said about the Anunnaki and the arrival of Nibiru. And, of course, I had some deja vu because it reminded me of the Heaven's Gate cult. It also reminded me what happened in 2011 with a UFO that appeared over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that even Megyn Kelly was shocked. She thought that maybe it looked like something out of the Second Coming. So I was curious as to, you know, what are your thoughts on this and how these manifestations could trigger religious movements or even religious thoughts?
Well, people believe what they want to believe. That's always going to be the case. And I believe that people would accept an alien religion because it would be easier than actually having true faith. An alien religion would say, well, there's no such thing as demons. There's no such thing as evil. All these things are misunderstood. Humans have a conceptual idea, and we are the ones that create evil with our own thoughts and with our own beliefs. Now, I want to go to the Bible, though, because this is really interesting, this topic especially. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and 11, it says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders," that's 2:9, and then 2:11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." We're about to believe one of the biggest lies that's ever been perpetrated on the human race, and it's the alien deception. The alien deception will be complete with an alien gospel that kind of rationalizes and justifies everything that everybody ever wanted to believe about not being guilty of any kind of wrong or sin, whatever you want to call it. And so, yes, I do believe that we're on the verge of that. And listen, the idea that we can we have alien reproduction vehicles, this is something that I don't know if they're alien, though. This is the problem I have. Even Lou Elizondo, former director of ATIP, he talked on a podcast about one of his commanders telling him, "Lou, we don't want you pursuing these things." And he said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, because have you read your Bible lately?" And he says, "Well, yes, but what are you getting at?" And he said, "Well, we know what these things are. They're demonic."
Okay.
I think we're dealing with demons.
I want to wait here on this demon thing.
Yeah.
I think that people are taking on this demonic delusion thing, and I think they're taking it a little too far, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If we're talking about God, and if we're talking about angels, and if we're talking about demons, we can all throw them under the umbrella of something that I like to call non-human intelligence.
Right.
Wouldn't we agree with that? There's non-human intelligence.
I heard you say that, and I agree.
So, okay. So if we're dealing with non-human intelligence and we have to ring all those things together, I don't like my peas and carrots to touch each other on the plate or my potatoes. Yes. So when I get a little antsy when I start hearing people say angels and aliens aliens and angels are the same thing, because I like to think to myself that when they describe the angels in the Bible, they say cherubim, seraphim, and living creatures. Okay, that's how they describe the angels. Mm. And so if we have seraphim and we have, you know, cherubim, the living creatures could be many other things that are not described. And the thing is if they're if the so-called aliens are anthropomorphic and they share the same DNA as us, then would they be like creations of God himself, and that it's just the God of all creation and not just, you know, and not just a certain type of creation?
It's a great question. And look, the Pope has even come out and said that there's no conflict with aliens being part of God's creation. But are they under the Creator, or have they rebelled against the Creator to do their own thing? And are they, in a sense, Luciferian, which they're rebelling against God? And in that rebellion, they hate God, and therefore they hate the form of the human beings that he created. And so their main agenda, these beings, is to try to destroy as many of us as possible.
Well, there's always been that debate over whether or not the angels envy human beings. That the angels were angry that we were even made in the first place because they're spiritual beings. They don't have bodies and they never... And angels are spiritual and so are demons. They're spiritual entities. So how do we take that spiritual entity idea of demons and incarnate them into biological aliens and say, that's demonic? How is it that we reach that point? Because, see, I have a problem because I start thinking about when Jesus had to cast the demons out of the demoniac and put them in the pigs. Mm-hmm. He didn't cast aliens out of the demoniac. He casted spiritual demons into pigs so they'd have bodies, and then he let them drown. So, I mean, I have a hard time with the incarnate beings of aliens becoming demons, or if they are demonic entities that are entering into synthetic robotic-type creatures or some other creature. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. And look, a lot of these creatures that they pull out of these so-called UFOs are genderless. They don't have any genitals. They don't have digestive systems. They are clone-like things.
Yeah.
So it's – yeah, I think you're 100% on to something here. I don't know because we don't know. We have it. They won't disclose.
Well, and, I mean, you've heard this too, and I find it interesting. You have people like Linda Moulton Howe and others that say people who are abducted or whatever, they're saying that the aliens have a big, big interest in our souls. Have you heard that?
Yes.
And I think it's because maybe they do have a way to what do they call it, panpsychism. What if they have a way to do panpsychism where they're able to take the conscious mind or the unconscious mind, download it into one of these beings, and this is how you get your demons?
I think that's great. I mean, that's one of the best examples I've heard. So the way you've described this is so important because, you know, when I used to produce the Art Bell show, he used to talk about these walk-ins that would walk into people who were open and available.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual walk-ins that come and inhabit a human form. And, you know, this goes to another issue. The non-player, the NPC theory, where people are like living zombies and that almost as if they are the crab that takes the little shell and makes it its home. We are just the shells for these forces that we don't understand, these forces that we don't necessarily see.
Right. Well, you have to admit that this is spiritual warfare. You have to say
totally.
You know, and see, that's why I like to piece it together and try to keep, like I said, I like to separate the entities and try to develop an understanding of all of them without combining them. And so, yeah, I made an argument for you. So there you go.
I love it.
Even though I have a hard time with this whole alien deception thing. But we're going to talk more about this with David Masters. 503-225-0860. We've got full phones too, David, so you're hot. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
Thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
The king.
Midday, there's been no statement from the British government, while the emergency meeting of the General Synod has yet to confirm or deny whether they consider last night's events to be a miracle or not.
Causing great offense to people of the faith.
I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I say to myself,
the king has returned.
You are all my children, and do not, because you follow blind leaders. But I am here now, and here for you.
Of their world, we'll build a better one.
The king has returned.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. David Masters with us tonight. 503-225-0860. Here's one for you, David. Okay. And it basically, again, backs up your demon alien thing. Here we go. General Ramey at Roswell was doing Operation Crossroads. This is from the Night Stalker. This is a listener in the chat. Mm. Crossroads is where you make deals with the devil.
Oh.
Oh. I'm laughing because it's so true.
It is. It is.
I'm just making arguments for you, and then I'll be saying bad things about you, throw crabgrass at your kids when I leave. You know that, right? I'm just kidding.
I love it.
No, you don't.
I do. Listen, I don't mind making fun of myself either.
No. I'm not making fun of you. I just think that, you know, it's like I say, I'm making arguments for you because I love you. It's one of those things where, you know, I want to be objective. That's how I am. You know that. I like to be open-minded and objective. So, yes, that's why we brought you on, because I want you to make the argument for that. And I'm finding things now that are making arguments for you, which is making me laugh because I, like I said, a lot of things about aliens, when it comes to aliens, I don't think they're here to save us. That would be stupid. I think they're here to eat us. And if you can say that, if you say that's demonic, that's fine. But I'm saying that it's predatory. I'm saying that anything with advanced knowledge, like aliens, the first thing they're going to think of is occupation. They're going to think of conquest. They're going to think of colonizing, right? Don't you agree with me?
Look, I think we've already been colonized. This is what I'm talking about, the non-player characters that are – see, the theory is that there's a concept that suggests that many people operate on autopilot. I mean, Ron Patton is an expert in this topic.
Yeah.
Lacking critical thinking and true spiritual discernment. So what happens is that when we don't do the critical thinking and we lose our discernment between what is right and wrong, we are absolutely ripe for the picking.
Right.
And so these fallen entities, whatever they are, and by the way, there may be billions, billions and billions and billions. They may outnumber us 10 to 1 or 50 to 1.
Right.
They're waiting for a shell like the hermit crab.
But let me give you an example of how, you know, I feel kind of icky about aliens and demons being the same thing. Okay. Yeah. So the reason why I do is because I had a caller the first hour call in. And she was, you know, she was sweet. She was interesting. She talked about Yeshua, the name of Jesus, and all this stuff. And then I said to her, I said, okay, because I was talking about this, you know, King Anu thing in this video. This guy thought he was seeing the revival of King Anu. And I said, okay, so it's like in the scriptures. So you see lightning to the east and lightning to the west, and then you see the coming of Christ on a horse. And I was thinking to myself, I said, okay, so if you see lights on the east appear, lights on the west appear, and then this beautiful light comes down in the middle of those lights, what do you think of? And she said, demons. And I was like, what? Because I don't think of demons when I think of lights gathering in the skies and then one big light coming down. I think, you know what? Better look busy and hide the porn. Jesus is here. Right? Yes. Wouldn't you think that? So what made her think of demons? And what, can you explain that?
Well, I do believe, though, that people feel that they will have to deal with a great deception. And, you know, I was having this conversation the other day, and I said, if you're a monster and you've come to collect souls, are you going to do it with a smiling face and a nice appearance, or are you going to do it in a crazy, aggressive, evil, horrifying way? You're going to get more souls with honey than you do with vinegar. So I think a lot of people are trying to prepare and wrap their minds around this idea that maybe there is going to be an invasion of some sort. Right. We don't know what it is or where it's coming from. Mm. I tend to believe what Lou Elizondo said. By the way, Lou Elizondo said something else interesting. He said, do we really need – if there is a being above us, if there's some kind of another kind of entity that's above us on the food chain, do we really need religion? Do we need our social structure? I mean, this is Lou Elizondo saying this.
I think we do.
I think we do, too.
I think there's room for God and aliens. I think, like I said, if we can say that God is a non-human intelligence, that angels are non-human intelligence, that demons are non-human intelligence, and aliens are non-human intelligence, I think we live in a better world. I don't think we need to call them demons or anything else. We just say, hey, there are non-human intelligences that care about you, and there are non-human intelligences that want to eat you for lunch. So you want to avoid the non-human intelligences that want to eat you for lunch and ruin your life, and you want to make good with the non-human intelligences that want to bring love and light to your life. Right or wrong?
Man, you know, I've talked a little bit about this with you before, Clyde. But
I know.
As a child, I experienced forces that were after me.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I have had demons approach me. I've had demonic presences come and actually talk to me. And just to give you an example, 15 years ago, I was in Santa Barbara on vacation. I'm walking from down State Street toward the pier. I'm walking over the railroad tracks. I see this little diminutive shadow a mile away. It was so small. It must have been a mile away. All of a sudden, I'm holding the hand of my son. And somebody tells me, put your son on your left hand, because he was in my right hand. And as soon as I did that, this little 3-foot-tall demon man with giant eyes, sharp teeth, white hair, walks up to me. And he looks right at me and he says, how you doing? And I said, it took me aback for a second. I said, I'm fine. How are you? It says to me, oh, I'm bored. I've been in hell all day. And I look over at my child, and my child's not even aware of it. And then he says to me, and I can't wait to piss on your grave. And I looked at my child to see if he was okay, and this thing was gone. This happened to me. I've dealt with these forces all my life. So for me, I'm compelled to believe that there are these dark things lurking, waiting, trying to get in on you if they can.
So, okay, so...
I'm dubious of anything that comes, you know, and I can't identify it.
So how do you explain what Jacques Vallée said about how it seems it's hard to tell the difference between a spiritual experience and a UFO experience? Hold on, we got to take a break. Damn. You can answer that when we get back. We got phones to get to, too. 503-225-0860. David Bastard is with us. We'll be back. before this conversation got rudely interrupted, David Masters with us. I was talking about Jacques Vallée, and he says it's hard to tell the difference between a religious experience and an alien experience or a UFO experience. I would agree with that. I mean, would you say that a demonic encounter would be a religious experience?
Yes.
Okay. And also an angel appearing would be a religious experience, right? Guardian angel.
So I have had both, by the way.
Okay.
I've had angels appear to me, and I knew they were angels, and I've had demonic forces try to come after me.
Right.
And I knew exactly what I was dealing with, and I knew that the angels were trying to guide me away from harm.
Okay.
I was 17 years old. I'm running away from home.
Have you had an alien? Would you have an alien experience?
They say there's nothing out there for you.
Alien experience. Any type of alien?
Yes, I've seen. When I was 12 years old, sitting on a beach in Hawaii.
So,
and I see a UFO lift up out of the water and follow a giant jumbo jet out into space.
Okay, so that would. But you never had an abduction experience, right? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I was going to say, when do you then conceptualize demons and aliens after your UFO experience? When did that happen?
Describe what you're saying to me again.
When did you finally conceptualize the idea that a UFO or an alien experience would be a demonic, deceptive experience?
So I want to make it clear. I'm not ruling out that there are extraterrestrial beings or extra-dimensional beings.
Right, okay. Yeah,
I'm saying that there could be a huge distinction between the two, but they also could be masquerading. The dark forces could be masquerading. Listen, science and technology, you know, you see the yard signs.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that love is love, and we believe the science. But they don't even know what the science is. They don't understand it.
See, I was rolling up my sleeves there. Now they're down again because you're making sense. You always make sense. All right. Got to go to the calls. Let's go to Ken in South Carolina. Hey, Ken, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. This is Ken in South Carolina. Hey, I love your show. I was going to talk a little bit about those lights that you were describing above the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Temple Mount.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to talk about is, for one thing, I know the light is definitely not Jesus, because there's a lot of events that have to happen before Jesus returns.
Right.
But two things I wanted to mention was that, you know, Seven years, the tribulation is 7 years. At the beginning of the tribulation, the two witnesses show up.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the two witnesses.
Yeah.
It's already told us one of them was Elijah. And you remember how Elijah left this world? He left in a
whirlwind.
Fiery chariot, right?
Yeah, he left in, it's called Elijah's vehicle, which was a whirlwind.
That exactly.
A fire, so, yeah.
Who knows exactly what type of vehicle or transport he's going to come back to this earth, because he is coming back.
You know, and you're making a great point here. And David, again, chariot of fire, pillar of fire, whirlwind, whatever you want to call it. These are ways they describe primitive versions of UFOs, don't you think? Maybe wormholes?
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Look, the Revelation is full of strange descriptions of machines and things that they didn't have language for back 1,000 years ago.
God,
exactly. They described them in general terms.
I listened to this show.
They could describe them.
Yeah.
And the other witness, we don't know whether that's Enoch or Moses. There's a big debate about it. But as you were talking about, you know, the four horses of the apocalypse, the first one's a white horse. Jesus is symbolized as a white horse. But the two horses are different. One's carrying a bow and has one crown. The other one has a double-edged sword and has multiple crowns, which is Jesus. So that first horse, as your speakers described, is religious deception. You have all these people that are deceived in these cults.
But the deception,
and whatnot.
I would say that deception would be the rise of the beast system. I mean, maybe AI is part of that. I don't know. I'm still trying to differentiate, because you're dealing with like biometrics, you're dealing with chips, you're dealing with surrendering your body to transhumanism, surrendering your body to the technocracy. Now, wouldn't that be sucky? What did David say when he first came on? The purpose of these beings, whatever they are, were to taint the bloodline from the time of Garden of Eden until now. Am I right, David?
Totally, absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what does the idea of mRNA vaccines are? What is the idea of these nanotech particles they want to put in your blood? They want to activate your DNA. That, to me, when it goes down to the carbon footprint of 666, which is 6 neutrons, 6 protons, and 6 electrons, that's what we're dealing with.
And, Clyde, you remember, I called in a few months ago when we were talking about this with the AI systems. And remember that the final part of the statue in Daniel is the feet made of clay and steel.
Yeah.
Well, think about that. Clay, human being, steel being technology.
The marriage of the two.
Exactly.
My God, we're solving the world's problems right here, Ken.
I'm so glad you brought up Daniel, because I just read Daniel 5. Everybody needs to read Daniel 5.
Okay. I'm going to read Daniel 5 before I go to bed.
It's the source. It's the origin of the saying, the writing on the wall.
Ah, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go. I know my thing. I know my Bible. Okay, thanks, Ken. Great call. All right, let's go to Jason in New York. Hey, Jason, you're on Ground Zero with David Masters.
Hey, Clyde.
Go ahead.
About the lights, you know, Lucifer is the anointed cherub, right? He's the light bearer.
Yeah, that's what Lucifer means.
There's many possibilities what could have happened over the dome of the rock. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't rule out the NIMSA Club or the Cosmos Club or some type of vehicle of the military-industrial complex. But, you know, when there's been many antichrists, and,
yeah,
you know, there's going to be lying signs and wonders. But, you know, I've been in, like Mr. Masterson here, I've seen real angels, and uh-huh. I've seen real demons,
uh-huh.
right? And the real angels really don't make me afraid, for it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? So, but when the demons manifest, there's usually fear, right?
Mm.
But
well, wait a minute. There was fear when the angels manifested in the Christmas story. You remember that, right? They fell to the ground and they hid their faces because they were sore afraid.
Well, in Revelation 19:5, John has a vision, and he's encountered a man in fine white linen. He's not afraid.
No.
And he says, "Do not worship me, for I am your servant and one of your brethren." Right. So, you know, all I'm saying is we need to test the spirits. It's like Mr. Masterson. You've got to have discernment. If there is light, no matter what kind of light it is, you've got to test it, right?
Right.
Do you believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? If that light says no, then you know what you got in front of you. I mean, you know, it's...
The deception would be if a demon decides to hold his hand out to you and you feel something. You shouldn't, because he's a spirit. And that's the deception, I would say. I don't know. That's just words. David, what a show. Jeez, we had a great time. And
can I give out my website?
Please do. Give out your website.
Yes. www.escapeyourmindsprison.com. I just put out a book called Superconscious Mind, the Unified Field of Consciousness, Bridging Spiritual Insight and Science. You've got to read this book.
Welcome back to Ground Zero Plus. We really enjoy you, and we're glad to have you back on board.
It's such a great honor, I got to tell you.
Well, I thank you. And again, it was a lot of fun having you on the show tonight. Remember, guys, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You can keep it at Ground Zero. See you tomorrow.